Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. I'm doing it myself today. Chuck is at a golf tournament. Quick story about how important golf is to Chuck. When I was pregnant with Rev, our son, and we were due to have Rev, he was going to be delivered 9 years ago, Chuck had an annual golf tournament set up with some friends. And one of his friends suggested, and he was not kidding, that Chuck go to the golf tournament. And he said, well, they have Skype, right? You can just Skype the birth, even from the course if you want. And Chuck, and I'm not exaggerating, actually considered that until I'm like, no, we're not going to do that. And he's like, well, I guess. Anyway, he's at a golf tournament. We're wishing him good luck. So it's just me, but we have a great show going on today. Let me get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way, though. I want to let you know, we'd love to have you follow us at our YouTube channel. You can catch that, all the podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. And if you go to the YouTube, please take a moment to like us and subscribe to us too. That helps us get the word out even broader. We're going to have Patrick Neville on, the Weekly Minority Report. Randy Corcoran, great attorney, did a great job in Jefferson County District Court today fighting for Bandimere. He's going to bring us up to date on that. And then at 3:30, you're going to be joined by my friend and colleague, Karen Cataline, to talk about this growing mask mandate. This is the kind of thing, the more I think about this, the more I get worried. You know, I want to talk to Patrick about a clause that I think I heard it dubbed Dugsit, right? Is that how you say it? Dugsit? Douglas County opting out of the Tri-County Health Department. Douglas County opting out of the mask mandate. At the same time, you've got Mayor Hancock today saying, oh, our coronavirus cases are ticking up. Well, gee, call me crazy, but I'm just wondering if that has anything to do with the mass protests and riots that they had in Denver over the last few weeks, right? I mean, those are fine. You've got to wonder, does that have anything to do perhaps with an uptick in the coronavirus positive test cases? I think that it might, right? He's doing that. Governor Polis is saying, oh, you know, mask mandate. I'm not going to myself say it, but, you know, wear a damn mask. It's like, give me a break. It's like, let us open up for business. Let us go back to our lives. Let's do that first. We got Patrick Neville on with us, though, our favorite state representative. Hey, Patrick, thank you once again for your time. You just got me today. Chuck's at a golf tournament.
No, hey, how are you?
I'm good. So let me, I wanted to talk to you, like I said, about the folks in Douglas County. I just read a tweet before I came on the show, Laura Thomas, one of the commissioners, tweeting that they had just voted to get out of the Tri-County Health Department. They were going to opt out of the mask mandate. And this is something you guys, the lawmakers, have been supporting these Douglas County commissioners. What's going on down there? What's the latest there?
All right, if we can backtrack to what, you know, early March, mid-March, sometime in that area.
Right.
We actually, every Douglas County legislator signed on to a letter basically saying this, that if Tri-County was going to be not representative of Douglas County and try to rule Douglas County from Adams County, or in this case it was Adams County and Mike Kaufman.
Right.
Then we need to opt out of Tri-County. We can develop our own county health department and be much more efficient and better at this and actually represent our own constituents better. And so at the time, you know, of course, it was in the middle of the early stages of the pandemic, and
right, you were killing
Kyle
people.
Clark attacked us, and
right,
Kyle Clark even made the false equivalence of, well, if you know, you weren't being told to evacuate from your fire department, it's contract fire department, which was a false equivalence because
right,
they actually have an evacuation order that comes from your sheriff, an elected official. But
right,
that was our whole point, is if these health departments aren't being accountable to anyone, then we need to find a different route. And I'm glad they finally did.
Right.
It's good news to my ears to hear that they did that and they took that step. I think our letter, even though we were attacked by Ian Silveri and Progress Now and all those guys ruthlessly for signing on to that letter, I'm certainly glad we did. I mean, I think it aged well, and I think the citizens are very supportive of what the commissioner is doing. So kudos to them.
Right. Well, exactly. And I think one of the things, and I agree with this, you know, I've seen Paula, some of the media are attacking him. Why the media people are pushing for a mask mandate is beyond me. At the very least, you'd think they would be neutral about it. Why they're pushing it, I don't get. But he's facing a lot of criticism. But to me, it does seem like a particularly local kind of deal. I've seen some of the graphs, I think, that you were tweeting out. I don't think there should be a mask mandate anywhere. But it does seem to me that when you look at Douglas County compared to Adams and Arapahoe County, it's a really different picture. There.
Oh yeah, very different picture, and that's basically what you had. You had Adams County, and then the worst of this, what makes me the most angry at this, and too bad Chuck's not on, so maybe I'm acting like Chuck in this scenario, but is Mike Kaufman. I mean, right. Mike Kaufman was pushing this and saying, well, I support a mask mandate for all of Aurora, but I really want Tri-County to do it.
Right.
And we should do it across all three counties so that we punish everyone regardless of
right.
how the pandemic is working
right.
in different counties. I mean, it was despicable. I'm like, okay, Mike Kaufman's finally showing his disdain for Douglas County. Maybe it's because he only think has like one or two precincts left in Douglas County in his new Aurora seat. But when, you know,
right.
he's always kind of that way with when he's in Congress. He really never cared for Douglas County concerns. It was about all the other concerns to make sure Mike Kaufman gets reelected. And that's what
right.
he's trying to do now. He's basically trying to say, I want to do this. I want to say that I'm supportive of it, but I don't want to do it
right.
myself, even though I have the authority to do it
right.
myself. So let me have some other bureaucratic agency do it so then I have political cover, which
right.
is the wrong answer. Citizens are smarter than that. They're going to see right through it.
And it also, exactly, and it sort of disproves their own argument, right? That, oh, everybody thinks masks are okay. They cite all these polls. Well, if everyone thought that masks were okay, Kaufman would have no problem issuing a mask mandate. He's not doing it. He's trying to pawn it off on the Tri-County Health Department because he knows most people don't like it and that it would be hard on him politically. He would pay a political price if he did it too. So, you know, there again, the hypocrisy. Let me ask you this. What kind of
impact the hypocrisy is so strong with it. I mean, if you take a look right. at it. Look, I'm not against what Polis even did, saying businesses are allowed to mandate masks and refuse
right.
service to those who don't wear it. I'm not against that. But then if you actually take a look at it and how that actually violates the ADA, a guy like me with 60% lung capacity may not be able to wear a mask in a business, but I'm still okay with that because guess what? I'll find a different place where I can shop that
right.
will allow me not to wear a mask. But then on the other hand, we have, you know, the state government forcing Jack the Baker to make a cake, which he strongly, vehemently believes in, when, again, they could just go to a different shop down the road and get that same service there. So, I mean, the hypocrisy through this whole process has just been amazing, mm-hmm. not to even mention the fact that, oh, we had to all be, you know, stay in our homes and socially distance until the protest broke out, and then
right.
you had Mayor Hancock not even making his mask, he wasn't even following his own mask mandate.
They're on the front page of the people.
You know, marching with thousands of people.
Right, arm in arm, no social distancing. Well, you know, let me ask you about this, and we're going to have Randy Corporan on. I want to ask him about this, but I saw right before we came on, some organizers are planning a candlelight vigil at Aurora's in the Tri-County Health Department area in Aurora's Utah Park this weekend, and they're pushing to get thousands of people there. So here's my question. It's okay, you got the Jefferson County Health Department pushing to shut down Bandimere, right, for having events at its Speedway, and yet you got to wonder, is the Tri-County Health Department going to go to court to seek an injunction to try to stop this gathering? My guess is they're not.
No, probably not. And of course, there's other lawsuits out there too that are being filed. I think Barry Arrington's doing a lawsuit based on Mark Hotelling. There's a church up there and some other churches have signed off to it too, saying that, well, Polis did nothing. He did absolutely nothing to stop the mass gatherings in Denver that were well over 1,000 people, but then he's telling churches they can't gather?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's absolutely insane.
Let me ask you about this. I had assumed until I saw a recent story that all of the vandalism and the windows and the spray paint and the graffiti, all of that at the state capitol had been cleaned up, but apparently it hasn't. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it hasn't been cleaned up because they still have sporadic graffiti happening from night to night. My question is, why aren't we actually solving this problem? And let me explain it further. I know why we're not. And the problem is not with State Patrol. The State Patrol wants to detain these folks. State Patrol wants to go after the folks that are actively doing vandalism. But the problem is they have no prosecutorial authority in Denver. And so they are worried that if they actually detain someone who is vandalizing the state capitol, they will try to turn that case over to Denver PD, which will then turn the case over to Denver DA, and the Denver DA will not prosecute these cases.
Right.
And this goes all the way back to the beginning of session when Jared Polis gave his State of the State speech at the Capitol, and there were a bunch of protesters that interrupted it. You had people like Jonathan Singer and Leslie
right.
Herrick go to the House floor and actively push Beth McCann not to pursue charges on those people. And guess what? Beth McCann didn't. Same
right.
thing happened when you had all these folks that violated Mayor Hancock's curfew. Beth
right.
McCann didn't prosecute them.
Right.
And so that's basically the worry. State Patrol could detain these folks all day long, but Beth McCann's just turning a blind eye to justice for political reasons.
Well, and so let me, but even that, that's okay. That's arresting him. I absolutely agree with you there, but why don't they clean it up? I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing. I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute, that's been weeks now. And so, you know, say we ever actually get a tourist back in Colorado, they go to the state capitol, or God forbid a school group, right, goes to the state capitol. We were down there before all this started and we brought our little boy with us. Right. And I'm like, I wouldn't take him down there now. I mean, it looks horrible. And it sends, I just think, such an awful message about respect for the state, respect for what you guys do there, respect for the rule of law. I mean, I don't understand. Why can't they at least clean it up?
Yeah, I mean, what they'll say is, well, okay, they're going to come back and there's going to be more and it's going to be costly. The fact of the matter is there's volunteers. There's people that wanted to come down and do it. I know oil and gas companies that wanted to come down and use pressure washers and stuff and actually voluntarily do this. They were turned away. I know when we had representatives like Tim Geithner actually actively cleaning up statues themselves and stuff, they were cursed and screamed at by the Antifa and some of the BLM folks. So it's, yeah, it's complex. And I know there's a lot of folks that are telling me, what are we doing to fix this? And, okay, guys, Chris Holbert and I, we do sit on the executive committee, and we are 2 out of 4 votes, and we only control 2 out of 3 floors of the Capitol. So it's really tough for us. But, I mean, yeah, no, I totally agree. And we've even tried having volunteer parties where legislators come down there and clean stuff off. And quite frankly, we're kind of done with that. If Beth McCann's going to keep letting these people get
right.
away with just basically spray painting over whatever we clean up the next day.
Right, right, exactly. Well, and here somebody's chiming in. This is from Sandra. Beth McCann is a useful idiot. That's true. But you know, Sandra also makes a point about the silent Republicans. I mean, that's why we have you on the show, because you are not. You get out there and you say, let's clean up the Capitol. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, and speaking to Beth McCann, George Brocker had kind
and
of a funny.
At some point, too, it's got to become Jared Polis's mess. He created this.
Yes.
He stood by. He let it watch it. You know, he watched it happen. He didn't do many of the things that he could have done to actually stop this. And so at some point, too, I'm kind of saying, well, I'm not going to be encouraging volunteers to come down and clean this up when Polis just lets the vandals come out the next night at 1 a.m. and vandalize again.
Right. Well, and you're absolutely right. You know, you arrest a few of them and they would quit vandalizing, right? And you know, he's sitting out there having a news conference saying, wear a damn mask. Well, I say, clean up the damn Capitol, right? It's not that hard.
Right.
As you said, you've got volunteers, people to do it. It just sends such a horrible message. And let me ask you then this too, and I know again that
instead of wearing a damn mask, how about this? Quit vandalizing the damn Capitol.
Exactly.
My
exactly.
goodness.
Well, and let me ask, I wonder if they will arrest us. I wonder if Beth, because it's unclear what happens if I don't wear a mask in the tri-county. I mean, we're in Adams County, so we're under this. Do you have any idea what happens there? I mean, is Beth McCann, or are they going to arrest us and prosecute us for that? But if we were just spray painting the Capitol without wearing a mask, that would be okay.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, in Denver, and that's why your district attorney races do matter.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure in Denver and folks like that, areas like that too. And then Inglewood, I think, came out with a pretty draconian measure themselves. That actually hit like 8 a.m. this morning. I was just looking at it, and I think it's like up to a year in jail. And so Tri-County's still drafting theirs. I'm a little worried. I mean, quite frankly, my daughter's got a volleyball practice in Inglewood on Saturday, and I'm going, are you prepared to wear a mask the whole time you play volleyball?
What? I mean, it's
no, I'm serious.
That's insane. And we've got baseball, and they don't have to wear masks, and golf too. They don't have to wear, but you're right. I mean, it's become insane. And you know, let me just a couple more questions for you, because I want to get your thoughts on this. So I was been talking with friends and relatives in other states, and I had a relative in Illinois who was saying, oh, well, we've had, I mean, they're still not going out of their house. I'm like, you're kidding me. And they're like, well, you know, we've had so many deaths here and the hospitalizations are up. And I'm like, you get that they're rigging that, right? You get that it's not that bad. You get, and they're like, well, I don't know. All you see and all you read about is this and this. And, you know, at least here in Colorado, as bad as it is, we've got people like you, at least that can stand up and say something. But I think there is this massive pressure on people and the media narrative that wants us to believe that we're all going to die at any second and we need to be afraid and we need to stay in our homes. And I mean, the voice of my friend, she was depressed, right? She's like on antidepressants now, all because of coronavirus. And I said, well, not because of coronavirus, but because of fear of coronavirus. I was like, maybe you should just get out and go to a restaurant. That might make you feel a lot better. But people like Polis and people like Hancock, once again, Hancock saying, oh, surging. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so frustrating.
And it's not. Hospitalizations are steady. We're not going to overwhelm our system. We're still in a safe spot, but they're trying to use it for political power. They still have not given us that metric that we were actually trying to meet. If it was, we truly don't want to overwhelm our hospital situation. Okay, I'm game. Let's talk. Let's actually define that metric and actually try to meet that. But it's not. It's just random to whatever Polis feels like day to day. And I think the difference between us and Illinois is, even though Illinois has all three chambers as well, and so do we, is we have a large vocal minority in Colorado that's willing to speak up. I mean, yeah, when CNC Coffee opened up, I showed up and bought a cup of coffee. I certainly didn't expect to be on the Washington Post that night, but I was. You know, and that's just kind of what you're talking about. The left is so vocally against this, and of course, I was called a murderer and everything else, and then there were even Democrats that were actually talking about preventing me from going into the legislature because I was a walking human hazard because I went to CNC Coffee. And guess what? 14 days later, after a CNC Coffee opened, there wasn't a single case that we even know of that was spread from that, you know, hundreds of people meeting in one location.
Right.
And so it's gotten totally ridiculous. But that's the narrative, and that's the left has this huge machine. Ian Silvera has this huge machine of fake bots that go out there, and Kyle Clark tweets out something that they like. And Ian Silvera has all his fake bots and fake people go out there on Twitter and start tweeting that like crazy to make it think like that's the popular opinion. And everyone thinks that's the popular opinion because guess what? It's got this many retweets. But it's not the truth. There is a silent majority out there.
Exactly. Well, and I would just encourage you, like I said, in talking to my relative in Illinois, you know, people in Colorado may think, well, and I know Chuck thinks this, you know, he gets kind of pessimistic saying, well, they control everything. But at least the fact that you guys speak out puts another side there. I mean, my relative was just like, no, it's really bad. That's all you read. I'm like, no, it's not really bad, you know? And there is nobody there. And I would think she probably would consider herself a conservative. So she's not a whack job, right? But there is no pushback on what the main narrative is there from anybody, it seems to me. And so they have all of these people in this gorgeous summer, the only nice part of summer in Illinois, frankly, and they're all staying locked inside, even though places are open. And so you guys do make a difference. I mean, maybe you can't get the votes to pass things through, but at least you're speaking out. Here in Colorado, I mean, it helps. It really does.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, we'll keep doing it. When I said when I first ran for office, that's exactly what I would do. And I hope to keep doing it. You know, I've got 2 more years till I'm term-limited, and that's my goal, is to keep speaking out as much as I can and to help, you know, be a voice for that silent majority. I mean, it's real. There's people that this cancel culture and the way the left actually mobilized and got these fake bots on Twitter and stuff to start having companies fire people, for no reason. It's totally real.
Yeah, look at me and Chuck. That's why we're doing a podcast. It's like, it's absolutely real. You know, let me ask you too, because I'd be remiss if I didn't, some changes at the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Association. The left is doing a victory dance, but from what I gather, what can you shed any light on that, or do you know?
Oh my goodness. So I didn't even really like follow it until I got a bunch of texts from reporters and they were like, you support this? Did you call for this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I just turned around and simply texted Dudley. And like people think Dudley and I, you know, talk hours a day. We don't. So I texted him and said, hey, what's going on here? He's like, Taylor was promoted. I'm like, cool. I like Taylor. Good. Taylor was simply promoted to executive director. And that's, Taylor's done a good job. We actually had some Republicans, like Larry Liston had a bill that was introduced and would have been very, very, very bad for gun owners. And Taylor flagged it before everyone else.
Right.
And then, you know, Larry wasn't happy that they flagged it, but Taylor actually worked with them to get it amended and get it out so that RMGO could actually stand down.
Right.
And so kudos to RMGO, but it's one of those things, yeah, they're trying to do this big victory dance and trying to make it out to the Dudley some, you know,
enemy
that was shut down. But no, the fact of the matter is Taylor's done a good job and he got promoted.
All right. Let me, final question for you then. Anything, because I'd love to have you let us know, anything out there you're keeping tabs on that you want all of us to be aware of or how we can help you out?
You know, I think the biggest thing coming up is that we've got some big races that we're looking at, and we'll start releasing those. But if you go to takebackco.org, that's takebackco.org, that's where we're going to start plugging folks in to how they can help out the effort the biggest, you know, as much as they can. I'm not going to be Mr. Sunshine and saying that Colorado's going to be a great state this year. I think the Trump campaign is starting to look at abandoning Colorado. I don't think they're seeing a lot of support in Colorado. So I think we're going to have a lot of defenses on our hands here. But that's the big thing, is we got to make sure that we defend some of our really good guys. There's some state reps, like Kevin Van Winkle's been a total rock star down there. I think he's going to be under full attack. Same thing with Richard Champion. He replaced Susan Beckman. Huge shoes to fill, replacing Susan Beckman. But obviously, Richard did a decent, really good job at it. Not even decent, really good job. So we got to get him back. And then there's some other seats that I think we have a chance to pick up, but it's not, I don't think it's going to be a wonderful year for Republicans by any means. So we have to start looking strategically on which seats we pick up. And then again, I do think it makes a difference when you have a very, very vocal minority.
Right.
And I think what the Democrats have done is they've tried to basically silence that minority as much as they can, so they can ram through their agenda without any sort of objection.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're here to help. I know all of our listeners, you know, love you guys and the stuff that you're doing. So Patrick, once again, thank you for your work. Thank you for your time. We sure appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Patrick Neville there, State Representative Patrick Neville. If you missed part of it, remember, you can always go to chuckandjulie.com and catch the podcast. And I think I saw Randy Corcoran jumping in. Randy, if you're there on Zoom, go ahead. I can't always see everybody who's in the waiting room. If you want to go ahead and unmute yourself and turn your microphone on, that'd be great. And if I'm mistaken, then I'll just ramble here for a little bit. But we're trying to get Randy Corcoran on. He did a great job defending Bandimere Speedway. If you're not familiar with that story, so they have events there, right? It's been around in business since 1958, a very good year. That's when I was born. And they have events every 4th of July and all the time up through the summer. And the Jefferson County Health Department, and they had been working out and having talks about, well, how do they handle some of the crowds and, you know, how should they do things? And the way I understand it, the Bandimere people thought they kind of had an understanding of what they wanted to do. But then the health department was making really unreasonable trying to make unreasonable rules. It had really nothing to do with how the speedway operates, right? You have a couple of unelected bureaucrats in a health department trying to make rules about how the speedway should operate. And you know, some of it just didn't make any sense. Well, they went ahead and had their 4th of July event. I think they had in an event venue that could hold like 23,000 people. They had roughly 4,000 to 7,000 people. The people were not all packed in together. And then they had a spy from the health department go in there, and then they relied on media reports and things like that to say, oh, they violated what they said they were going to do. They violated our order. And they went to court, essentially, to try to shut them down. Now, Randy made a couple of really good arguments. One was that simply, number one, these rules, they're unclear. They're vague. How do you, you know, it's not clear. So how could you tell if you were violating them or not violating them? Another point he made, I think that's really good, is that, so wait a minute. So the spy who went in there was saying, oh, well, people were standing in the food line and they weren't social distancing. And the Bandimere people were like, well, what are we supposed to do about that, right? Is it our job to make sure that happens? Is it every business? You're not making other businesses do that, right? If somebody doesn't have a mask or stands too close to somebody at the grocery store, you're not trying to shut the grocery store down. And it's the judge, I guess I'll give her credit. I want to get Randy's take on this. Said she wanted to take some time to issue her ruling because she's aware there's a lot of stuff going on with this. But one of the things, and Randy, if you're coming in, if you're here, go ahead and unmute yourself and throw your video up too. And then we'll bring you on. But I think, to me, the big issue here There are two. Number one, it's just stupid. Number one, I think we can never forget the fact that this is not necessary. We need to go back. The whole reason we did all of this was based on completely flawed, I think the right word to be would garbage studies out of the Imperial College over across the ocean, right? Which turned out to be completely wrong, not even close. Fauci and all of those health department officials, all of their projections were completely wrong. But initially, we all bought into this because they told us, oh, this virus really, really deadly. Everyone can get it. Everyone's going to die. So we all have to do our part and we all have to stay home. Okay, so we did, right? The curve was flattened, all right? But now they changed the goalposts. Now they're trying to keep us locked down. And as we've got you, Randy, hey, thank you for joining us. I was just going back to, I know you can't really bring this up in court, but to me, we got to remember the whole thing is not necessary, right? So they're trying to shut us down for political reasons, not health reasons. But I gather that the judge wasn't going to let you argue about that, right?
Well, you know, there was some strategic considerations going into this particular hearing because we had 2 days' notice. We were served with a motion for preliminary injunction on Monday and we're in court Wednesday for what I expected to be a couple hour hearing.
Wow.
And it turned into a second day.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no time to gather together medical evidence, medical experts, any of that kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, we're really keeping our powder dry for when we're on the offensive to try and make those cases that not only is it an illegitimate use of the law constitutionally, but they didn't use their own processes in setting up these laws properly, and then maybe bring some medical information to bear as well.
Well, you know, one of the things they noted, you know, that, and I think you were right to call him a spy, a health department official was in there, right, and was reporting that he saw people not social distancing. And then you very appropriately said, well, did you go tell him, hey, guys, maybe you should spread out? Did you? I mean, to me, I'm like, it'd be like standing there on the side of a pond where there's a little sign that says, hey, don't go on the ice. It's not all the way frozen. And people do. And you stand there and you watch them drown and say, well, they didn't read the sign. I mean, if he really believed that people were going to die because they weren't social distancing at Bandimere, you would hope that he would have intervened and said, hey guys, this isn't safe, right?
I wish I'd had you for closing argument because I just love that. I mean, absolutely. And plus, he is a friend of John Bandimere's. They have a longtime, pretty close relationship. So if you're in there with your camera and you have the imprimatur of being a health official,
right,
and this is your friend,
he's not an undercover cop, right? He's not an undercover cop trying to catch you in a drug deal.
Yeah. And then the director himself had promised John Bandimere, they spoke on the morning of the 4th of July, and he had promised him that, you know, go ahead and run your event and let's talk on Monday and see how it went. So maybe we can work on, you know, make new plans for the next one. And instead of getting a phone call, they got a summons to appear in court on Wednesday.
And a revocation of their liquor license, right?
That happened on Friday with armed agents, badges and guns. They showed up demanding documents, which we were, you know, I say we because I'm now part of the Bandimere family as far as I'm but they were in the middle of getting ready for the weekend, and so they couldn't produce anything. And then the next thing I get is an email with a summary suspension of their license.
That's
overkill.
Let me ask you about, so how do you take, how did it go from your point of view, any sense of what the judge is going to do? I mean, my kind of quick read was, you know, it's good that she didn't just say, okay, nope, you're shut down forever. She seemed to be aware that there were a lot of politics involved here as well as legal issues. And she seemed to be going out of her way to try to say at least, look, I'm going to stick to the law here. And is that good or is that bad?
I think it's really good.
Okay.
And I will say this, I was very impressed with her sort of oratory explaining why she wasn't giving her ruling yet.
Okay.
It was very thoughtful. Regardless of what side she comes down on, I will always have tremendous respect for the thoughtfulness that she brought to this hearing, the time that she gave it. She didn't rush anybody. She allowed everybody to present their case and be heard. And then instead of making that snap decision, she said, this is all new ground. I don't have precedent. I don't have other cases I can look at to see what I'm supposed to do based on Supreme Court rulings and that sort of thing. This is all very new, so I'm going to take the time it deserves. And then the last thing I'll say is, and this is why I feel positive about it.
Okay.
the county's position was that this is a health emergency. People are going to die if we don't get Bandamere under control.
Right.
And the judge's response to that is, okay, I'll get back to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, good point.
So I don't think that, I don't think she's taking this as like people are going to die.
People are going to die. Well, let me ask you this too, just a couple more questions, but they're having, now this is not in Jefferson County, it's in Arapahoe County, or maybe Adams, no, Arapahoe, I think, but which is part of the Tri-County Health Department, so it's a different health department, but they're having a candlelight vigil tomorrow night from 5 to 8 at Utah Park for Elijah McClain, and they're expecting thousands of people there. Do you think we're going to see the Tri-County Health Department step in and get some kind of injunction for those organizers to stop? My guess is we're not.
Well, I'm sure they'll have many people just in plain clothing with their cameras gathering evidence for that Monday injunction that they'll file against those so-called peaceful protesters.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the bottom line thing. And I guess I know you can't really argue that in court, but it's like, if you know, if all of those people at Bandamere had showed up with spray paint and were vandalizing and painting Black Lives Matter stuff all over, it would have been fine. It was simply the fact that they were families celebrating the 4th of July. It just seems to me that was why there's a problem.
Well, I think what's happening is the Democrats are aware that they have a top secret cure for the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. They just don't want it to get out. If you are a radical activist domestic terrorist, then you're immune. You don't even have to worry about it. You just go gather and destroy and do what you want to.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you then, how can people help? What do you need? And the ruling doesn't come out till July. And talk to us. Bandamere's open this weekend, right? So give us all that stuff.
Game on. They're there tonight. They were there last night. They've got an event tomorrow, a Volkswagen event. All of it can be seen at the Bandamere.com website. We did set up a fundraiser last night. Really, really impressed how people are stepping up. They can go to GoFundMe and either just put in Bandamere or put in God and Country, and it'll be the first one that pops up. And since about, I would say 7 o'clock, maybe a little earlier last night through right now, people have donated $16,300 to the Bandamere family.
Wow.
And
wow.
I was just on with Stefan a minute ago, and and he was talking about, you know, expensive lawyers. And I chuckled and I said, and he wasn't being critical or anything, but I said, the Bandamere's can afford to pay their lawyer. What they can't afford to do is maintain this massive, gorgeous, beautiful facility and then operate at 10% or 20% of their capacity. Even the 4th of July, Julie, they had about a third of their capacity one of what's always their second biggest event every year.
Right. Well, I have a couple more questions that just made me think of that. In terms of that, can you explain, because I thought John Bandamere was really eloquent in reading the testimony about what this means. I mean, they lose everything if the health department keeps insisting on this, right?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I've never dug into the Bandamere family finances, but you can't operate a 24,000 person capacity facility with limits of 175 people,
No, that's ridiculous.
And so part of the creativity was coming up, because they're so big, they can have pit areas one event and a food area is an event and a race area and a staging area. And so you can do some of that, but it doesn't get you there. And you know, people are not obligated to just bankrupt themselves slowly over time. And so I can't imagine why they'd want to keep going if we don't win this fight. But this is just the first round of a battle. We're going to go on the offensive here pretty quick.
All right, good. And then my final question, then it's a lawyer question, but it seems to me, like, for instance, as a community, when we pass rules and regulations, we don't expect the individual homeowners or the individual citizens to enforce the law. That's why we have police departments, right? And it seems to me in this case, doesn't it, from a legal point of view, put the businesses, so the health department passes rules about social distancing and this and that, but then puts the businesses in a weird legal limbo-y place where they're supposed to enforce it. I mean, I don't see how that could even begin to work from even a legal point of view.
Well, it's very interesting. I asked both of the health department witnesses, including the director, what would you have them do? You were there on site. You didn't do anything. You didn't go talk to people or encourage the staff or even call your friend John to let him know, hey, we need to figure something out here.
Right.
Are they supposed to grab people and throw them out, put masks on their faces?
Right.
Can, And the judge asked the prosecutor a couple of times, where in all these rules is there the requirement that a business submit to you a safety plan?
Yeah.
That's not, now the judge can create that as a remedy for in a preliminary injunction. It's a court of equity and it can come up with, you know, the whatever it deems necessary to solve the problem. But I feel awfully good going in with the judge taking this amount of time to to think about it. So we're optimistic, but we're also not just sitting around to wait and see what happens next.
All right. And so can you give us a hint on the proactive stuff or?
Well, we, you know, this was a very short notice hearing, so we didn't even have an opportunity. I tried a little bit, but didn't really get an opportunity to argue the status of these laws themselves, the fact that they're improperly implemented, that they're calling what are actually rules, they're calling orders, and what they're calling orders are actually rules, and there are processes for each.
Right.
And then we'll probably be bringing the constitutional challenges. I'm guessing we'll be seeking injunctive relief against the health department to stop them from enforcing these laws any further.
Okay, and one more time then, the GoFundMe, just go to GoFundMe.
Yeah, go to GoFundMe, put in Vandermeer or God and Country, and it pops right up, and it's just on fire. Stefan said something to me too. He said, you know, I heard you did a really great job or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And what I said was, when you have the best family and the best set of facts and the best situation at this time, it's not that hard to go in and present it. These are really good people and the community needs to support them.
All right. See, and we do, Randy, thank you so much for your time. Stay in touch. Keep us posted. We're here to help any way we can.
Always a joy, Julie. Say hi to Chuck for me.
All right. Hey, and Randy Corporate on tomorrow morning, right? 9 to noon or 9?
Yeah. 7:10. You bet. Be there, be square.
All right, sir. We'll see you later. Thank you. Randy Corporate there. You can go to all the information there is on the I Stand With Vandermeer Facebook page. That's a great site. They only have like a million people on them right now. You know, and again, I go back to, and I understand in the court, you can't really get into this, but I think we should never forget, don't let yourself get distracted by the liberal, progressive, radical narrative. None of this is necessary in the first place. I argue there was never a curve to be flattened in the first place, but if there was, we have certainly flattened it. The increased hospitalizations, they acknowledge right now, anyone going into the hospital is tested for coronavirus, and if they went in for a gunshot wound, if they go in for a car crash, if they go in for Botox, right, and they get tested, they test positive for coronavirus, it's calling it a coronavirus hospitalization. Has nothing to, they're not there because of coronavirus. The coronavirus, the vast majority of people, number one, are not even going to get it. The people who do get it, the vast majority of them are not even going to know they have it or going to be not sick at all. Of the people who actually get it and do get sick, the vast majority of them are going to be just fine. The people who are dying as a result of coronavirus, a direct result of coronavirus, right? Oh, there's Tiger the Wonder Dog in the back there. But the people who are dying is a direct result of it. It's a very small, very identifiable percentage of the population that can be easily protected without having to lock down the rest of us. Make no mistake. They want to lock us down because they want to hurt Donald Trump. They want to spread fear. Again, it was a real eye-opener to talk to my relative in Illinois who was really alarmed about this and was taking antidepressant drugs. Never had to take those before, right? That's what they want, and we can't let that happen. With that in mind, I'd like to, because I saw her joining, I think, my friend and colleague, Karen Cataline. Karen, if you can, there you go, unmute yourself and pop in. You have been saying this, you must feel like Paul Revere. Hopefully he's not racist. You must feel like Paul Revere because you've been saying this really from the beginning, right? And you've been saying from the beginning, don't wear the mask, open Colorado. You've been leading all the way. But are you muted? Karen, you got to unmute yourself. Can we unmute you? I can't unmute you. Karen, if you can hear me, on the lower part of your screen, there's a little mute button. I don't know. Guys at BBS, can you help here? They think it's your mic. Is this pardon us for the technical difficulties. I'm not hearing you. Can we maybe, hang on, do something. She's doing something. Okay, yeah, the BBS. Hey, Karen, the BBS guys think it's your microphone, not the Zoom mic. Nope. we can't hear. How about this, Karen? How about if you unvideo yourself? Is that a word? Unvideo yourself and see if we can get your mic on, because we're not hearing you. And just keep talking, and if we hear you, then we'll figure it out. Okay. All right. While we work with Karen, let me go back to that, because I want to, you know, it was just an eye opener, because I've been talking with some friends. And Karen, I'll stop. Karen, if I suddenly hear you, I'll go, oh, there you are. That's like, can you hear me yet? Can you see me yet?
I think it's now.
Oh, now you did it. Okay. Right. I was going to go on a rant, but we'll stop that and I'll let you.
No, that's what my problem is. This is always happens, you know?
That's
and
right.
Now I have my headphones on because I don't want to take the time. Forgive me.
No, this you're perfect. Happens. You're perfect.
Right.
Headphones
very
with
good.
Your hair, but you look great.
okay.
As I was saying, you were one of the persons from the very beginning who was saying, don't wear a mask. Open Colorado. You've been proven absolutely correct. So, and I know you've got another great column up too. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, and Julie, you were right there with me pretty early. I think this is a PSYOP operation. I really do. When you look at the mental health, psychological aspects of what they're trying to do, and you put it together with all the other things that you have been so cogent. I've been watching and listening the whole show. And what you have said, none of any of this makes sense unless you plug it into the motive. And the motive is global, socialist, one world government. That's the only way it makes sense. So if you go backwards with a conclusion, I have my article up, and shameless plug, you can
go
read it at KarenCataline.com. I write a lot more stuff. I write short pieces and long pieces. So this is under on my front page, full length pieces.
Right.
And the name of it is Masking the Truth. It's not about the virus. It's about obedience.
Yes.
And not only is it about obedience, which of course you have to have for global socialism, because if you have dissent crushes tyranny. Right.
Well, so and people will be
they
like,
want to crush dissent.
And it's like, hey, this global socialism isn't actually working for me, right? They don't want you to say that. You're like, I would just like to open up my own store and make my own business and support my own family. Right.
Right. And if you look from a broad level, and there's so much to talk about here, and that's why you guys do such great work. And Randy Corcoran is just amazing. So proud of what he's doing. When you look at all the areas of life and almost everything that has made America great, then those are the things that are under attack.
Yes.
It is not rocket science, although there's still a lot of people that don't see it, right? So from a broad perspective, people of faith, and I'm all over that thing about singing and chanting in church. And as you know, I don't go to church, but Jews chant in synagogues. Now, if we were to say death to America, the virus is no problem. But if you sing or chant in church or synagogue, then they're going to come down on you. There's only one reason they've targeted these specific things. They've targeted the family. They've targeted people of faith. They've targeted the media. They've targeted education.
Free speech.
They've targeted every one of our Bill of Rights.
Right.
Which says that we're the boss of them. They're not the boss of us.
Yes.
So the mask, in my opinion, is the tipping point of so many things.
Yes.
It affords us an opportunity to really engage in the kind of civil disobedience that I think is almost all that's left to us, sad to say.
Right.
And that's because whatever they want to force you to do by government is exactly what we should not be complying with, unless, as Churchill says, it offends our common sense and our sensibilities.
Right.
There is enormous disagreement about masks. I ran into a woman this morning at Walmart, and she was convinced that it was a choice. And I told her, you know, I have no problem with you wearing a mask, but it is not a free choice. And there are governments all over the state and the country arresting people. I interviewed someone on Spouting Off who got arrested, a black pro-life activist. You got to hear this interview. It's amazing.
Wow. Okay.
Who got arrested for not wearing a mask to a city council meeting in which they were going to discuss the mandatory wearing of masks, right? See, they would not let her speak or enter the area to speak unless she was forced to wear a mask, and she arrived to speak against it. They put her in jail.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go back to, and again, you just use your own common sense. When this all started, they told us we did not need to wear masks, that the masks were not particularly effective at all in preventing the spread of the virus. And without even getting into whether you believe that or don't believe it, let's just think for a second. If they said that, right? There's no. So do we really think that Dr. Fauci stood up there and was lying so that thousands of people would die? For what reason would he do that? So we know, they know that the masks are not necessary. So if the masks aren't necessary, it goes to your point. If the masks aren't necessary for our health, then why are they making us
wear them? Why are they doing it? Exactly. And when I look from my mental health background at what the masks are doing to us,
yes,
they are making us not only more submissive, suspicious of our neighbors, unable to connect with neighbors because facial expressions are covered. People are scared. It helps increase fear.
Exactly.
We cannot connect in an election year. In my opinion, this election is fraudulent because they're not enabling people to freely associate and engage in a fair election. Why? Because they want us to keep distant from each other. They don't want us to connect or talk. You can't connect human to human, but that's because the left has been doing that for decades already.
Right.
We're not very good at it anyway.
Well, and the thing is, to me, it goes back to it's not necessary. And so why are they doing it? For a lot of the reasons you said. And I think, again, keep in mind, Democrats are sort of master strategists, right? They have been pushing the cancel culture for a long time. Right. Yes. And they've gotten very good at that. And they do that not through actual human beings who are expressing opinions, but essentially through technology bots. Right. And algorithms that tweet stuff out and make it seem as if that there's this popular. So that's one of the things. The other reason, the mask is just part of it. They want us afraid for the reasons you said. But even more than that, they want to be able to prevent Trump from having a rally. Or if he does, they want to make sure that people don't go to the rally. They want to, and I think this is the biggest thing, they want to push all mail balloting. Because if they can push all mail balloting, they can turn their ballot harvesting machines into full gear, and they can guarantee they win the election. If they win the election, then here's what they're going to do. Number one, they're going to get rid of the filibuster. So like Senate can do whatever they want. They're going to, I think, expand and increase the U.S. Supreme Court. So they don't have to worry about waiting for people to die anymore. I mean, it's just one cog, I guess, or one link in the chain they're building to take over the country. And And you know, they count on us being nice and being scared. And, you know, it's just...
Well, I think there's a strategy we can engage in. But I also want to say that I think that they have been fighting on every front possible. And I think they're going for broke right now. Yeah. I think mail-in ballots is only part of it. I think they have a multi-pronged strategy, everything. I think this would have happened, God forbid, in a Hillary first term. It would have happened in a second Hillary term. And I think they accelerated it because of Donald Trump, because Donald Trump stands in the way of all of this, a full and complete takeover and overthrow of America. Well, I am not overstating it.
No, I don't think so either. And I think one of the things that they really hate Donald Trump for is he showed people that, hey, actually, you can speak up. Actually, you can say, hey, I don't agree with that. You can actually say, hey, I'm not racist, or I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I am this. You can say, I do want to make America great again, right? And once you let people realize, oh, wait a minute, you know, the emperor has no clothes over here, and I can go ahead and say that, boy, you got a lot of problems on your hand. And that's what they're trying to push all of that sort of back into the proverbial bottom. So they can keep us locked up.
Remember when Donald Trump, at the very beginning, went on the attack against political correctness? At that time, before he came on the scene, people were already getting beaten down, and Donald Trump came along, and that's one of the reasons he became so popular. I do want to say that they have given us a roadmap for civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Whatever they're willing to use the force of government to tell us not to do, if it is irrational and we know that it is bad for us, then we should not do it. And the more people that stand up, there's always a leader that has to start the way, like Bandimere Speedway, for example.
Right.
Don't you wish you had thousands of Bandimere Speedways who were so morally clear and so courageous as to stand up and make and do the first one to stand up so lots of other people will? We must defy these outrageous laws by what I call in my piece lawless lawmakers. They have no credibility. We should not be listening to them at all.
Well, and you can see by people's behavior, whether they're political or not, that people understand that you really actually don't need to wear a mask. People understand, and they show this in their behavior, that if you go outside or if you go to a restaurant or if you play volleyball with somebody, that you're not going to drop dead of coronavirus the next day. People wouldn't be behaving the way they are if they really thought that. The politicians, mm-hmm. if they really thought that people were going to be dropping dead of coronavirus, they would not be allowing these mass protests, right? I mean, I pointed out earlier in the show, Elijah McClain was the young man who was killed while in custody mm-hmm. at the Aurora Police Department. It's become a big thing, right? Without getting into the pros or cons of what should or shouldn't have happened there, but there had to be a candlelight vigil, another one, Saturday night. They've had several of these and thousands of people gather. Now, there's this gathering in a place where the Tri-County Health Department just issued a mandatory mask order for such events. My question is, are they going to do to these people what they did to Bandimere, right? Are they going to issue an injunction and tell the organizers, we need to see your plan about how you're going to make people social distance. We need to see your plan about how you're going to make people wear masks. And we're going to have our own spies there gathering information. And if you don't, we're going to drag you to court on Monday. Am I betting that again?
Clinical answer. No, they're not going to do that. And in fact, the more brazen they are, the more they cause dispiritedness amongst people like you and me.
Yeah.
They do it on purpose. This is a psyop. It really is. It's a psychological operation. They know how we think. I don't think everybody does, but I think the few Democrat strategists whose names we really don't know. We have an idea, but we don't really know. And there aren't that many of them who are using a lot of people as useful idiots. Those people know that if they can force people to do such stupid things. I'll give you an example, Julie. My dear husband, who just flew in today from a business trip, he said, did you know that CVS Pharmacy is now really touting the use of male makeup? They may even have like a special aisle for male makeup for men. I said, well, just think about this, dear, that eventually, after they have the male makeup, they will eventually be forcing all men to wear makeup in order to enter the store. Because the truth is, if they can force you to wear a mask and things that nobody thinks is reasonable, they can force you to wear makeup. They can force you to turn around three times and say, thank you, dear leader, Governor Polis, before you enter a store. There's no end to the amount of preposterous stupidity that these people can impose on you if you give in to them now. And it's only going to get worse.
Well, again, although I'm going to have to stick up as a Mary Kay consultant, I'm all in favor of the more people that wear makeup, the better. It's like
even men. I love the idea that two women are talking about makeup for men. Okay.
You know, I come from the TV world. But I shouldn't. Chuck's not here, so we can't make. I put little HD makeup on him. I come from a TV world where men wear makeup. Real men can wear makeup. But your point, though, is well taken, that they start with little things, right?
Always.
And you're like, well, you know, I don't want to get my neighbor mad, or I don't want to scare the lady at the grocery store, so I'll wear a mask.
Social pressure.
Exactly.
You're going to virtue signaling, because now you're a nice person if you wear a mask, and you're a mean, terrible, cruel person. If you're concerned about your freedom, you're being selfish.
Right.
All of these things are messages they're giving to the entire. This is a more political theater for the politically uninformed. And the rest of us, people like you and me, are in a race against time to enlighten people as best we can. And that's, you know, what we must do.
And on the mental health thing, like I said, it was, and I don't mean to keep harping on this, but it was just such.
Harp, it's your show.
It's my show, good point. You know, the conversation with my relative in Illinois, who is a smart, wise person, right? And it really is staying home. And I was, and I didn't want to argue. So I was trying to be, I'm like, well, you realize, right, that Illinois acknowledges that it's counting everybody who goes into the hospital who tests positive for coronavirus, whether or not they are still have it, or whether or not that's why they're in the hospital, they're counting that as a hospitalization. So when they say hospitalizations are going up, that's not really true, right? And they're like, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't want to risk it.
I've been asked, forgive me, I'm always doing that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I did a lot of radio interviews today. Today was a very busy radio day. And I was asked, how do you, to play devil's advocate, how do you make arguments to these people? I'm still thinking about it because it's a wonderful question. And the fact is, what do you think?
Because I think, and again, when you talk to number one, and I was going to say, I have another friend who has now developed symptoms that the doctor believes are totally related to anxiety over coronavirus, right? So without, I mean, she doesn't have coronavirus. Coronavirus hasn't affected her, but the anxiety over it. And I think what you have to do is like every, I mean, compassion is a great way to approach it.
But here's the thing.
But I
know you got to run probably, but number one, this is a cult. C-U-L-T, it's a cult.
Right.
I've done a lot of study, not occult, but a cult.
Right.
And cults are built, followers of cults are built on emotion and on preying on people's weaknesses. So if you've got somebody who's fallen prey to the cult, you have to make an emotional argument to balance out the emotion that they're feeling. No amount of logical, rational argument is going to get a person out of a cult who is running on fear, anxiety, and all of that. So you have to make, we have to
do interventions. Interventions.
Yes.
We need to kidnap them and take them to a restaurant and buy them a martini or a Chardonnay or something. And
we
say,
need to deprogram them.
That's right. And say,
that's what we need
me,
to
are
do.
Are you having fun? So, hey, listen, before we let you go, because you're right, it is time to wrap up. Karen is going to be filling in. We have more juvenile junior golf events to go to on Monday. Karen has graciously agreed to fill in for us. Karen, where can people find out more about? They can hear you here on Monday. Where else can people find you?
They can find everything that I do, more than you want to know about me, by going to KarenCataline.com. Karen spelled the normal way. And yes, I still have a sense of humor about my first name, but only barely. Cataline is also a K, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. All of that is on my website. I encourage you to read my article. I have to look at it. Masking the truth. It's not about the virus. It's about obedience. And yes, I have no idea what I'm going to do on Monday, other than, because, you know, over 2 days, we could have the end of the world as we know it.
Exactly.
But I will do all local politics, and I'll depend on people to call in as well.
All right, Karen, thank you for your time today. I sure appreciate it.
Love you, Julie. Love Chuck.
Oh, love you guys too. And I want to thank you to Randy Corcoran. Thank you to Patrick Neville. Thank you to Thomas, who is manning the board for us there at BBS, and all the guys at BBS Radio. You know, again, on the show brought to you today by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check it out. It's Colorado's conservative voice. And Cenegenics, you've heard Chuck talk about them too. Go to Cenegenics.com. That's Cenegenics.com. Thank you to everybody listening in on Zoom. We love to have you guys on Zoom and listening to all of the podcasts. If you miss anything, if you want to say, hey, wait, what did she say? I want to hear some more about that. You want to recap what Randy is doing, just go to chuckandjulie.com. That'll take you to all of our podcasts. In the meantime, though, that'll do it for us here on Party Friday. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.